This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله هو الله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين وعلى أصحابه المنتجبين وعلى جميع الأنبياء والمرسلين. قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم واعبدوا الله ولا تشركوا به شيئا وبالوالدين إحسانا وبذي القربى واليتامى والمساكين والجار ذي القربى والجار الجنب والصاحب بالجنب وابن السبيل صدق الله العلي العظيم. وقال النبي حبيبنا المصطفى صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى أهل بيته: رأس العقل بعد الإيمان بالله التودد إلى الناس واصطناع الخير إلى كل بر وفاجر، أو كما قال: صدقت يا رسول الله. In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful, all praise is due to our Creator, our Cherisher, our Nourisher, and our Sustainer. We bear witness there's none worthy of worship but Allah. We bear witness we believe in all the prophets who came in the great line of divine. And we bear witness that Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa ashabihi wa sallam, is the final of all the emissaries of Allah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, walillahi alhamd. Alhamdulillah. Yesterday we concluded the month of Ramadan. A Ramadan that perhaps filled our spirit with goodness. A Ramadan that possibly awakened our conscience to righteousness. A Ramadan that has hopefully purified our hearts from bitterness and negativity. And a Ramadan that has perchance enhanced the capacity of our souls for compassion and for forgiveness. It was a month of increased worship. And though increasing our worship in Ramadan is good, being transformed by Ramadan and through Ramadan is far more important. So many of us remain the same in spite of going through Ramadan. While we know that the one who has truly benefited from Ramadan is the one who is a better person after Ramadan than they were before Ramadan. We have said farewell, al-wida, to the month. The month of fasting, and the objective of that fasting was the attaining unto taqwa, or righteousness, or piety. That taqwa which is the pinnacle of human excellence in the estimation of Allah, as Allah Himself says in Surah Hujurat, Inna akramakum inda Allahi atqakum. The most honorable of all in the sight of Allah are those with the highest degree of taqwa. A taqwa which we ourselves cannot measure, and only Allah knows the measure of taqwa, as He reminds us, فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Don't ascribe righteousness to yourself. هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنِ اتَّقَى. Allah alone knows best those who are truly pious. To enhance ourselves and to be successful in the pursuit of that taqwa, or that righteousness, or that piety, it is essential for us to emulate the prophetic example, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when we say following the example of the Prophet, it is far more than just trying to look like the Prophet, far more than just dressing like the Prophet, far more than just singing about the Prophet or singing for the Prophet. In fact, it is far more significant than that. Those who were close to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about him, Kana Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam alyana an-nas wa akrama an-nas wa kana rajulan min rijalikum illa annahu kana dhahakan bassam. They describe him as he was the easiest of people to get along with. He was most noble and most generous indeed. He was among the people like one of the people, but he was always cheerful and always smiling. Such was the beautiful example of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, an embodiment of mercy, a reflection of divine compassion. Indeed, kana khuluqu al-Quran, a personification of the glorious Quran. You see, he did not merely say tabassum fi wajhi akhik laka sadaqah, smiling at your brother is charity. No, he practically manifested this positive expression, as Abdullah bin Harith is reported to have said, as documented in the Sunan of At-Tirmidhi. He said, ma ra'aytu ahadan akthara tabassuman min Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I have not seen anyone smile more consistently or more often than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we compare that to ourselves when we see people who are not exactly from the same school of thought like ourselves, maybe by their dress or by their beard or by their outfit, we already disdain it. We always make a distance between ourselves and people because we're almost judgmental, almost self-righteous, which is the very antithesis of taqwa. When we have self-righteousness, it is proof that you have lack of righteousness. The greater the degree of self-righteousness, the lesser degree of taqwa. That's your own measure. I can't judge you. I can't say, well, you're self-righteous. We ourselves should know that we are self-righteous. When you disdain other people, al-kibru bartarul haq wa ghamtun nas, arrogance is part of it, looking down upon other people. We claimants to Islam, professed followers of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, are we truly like him? Some people are so wealthy, alhamdulillah, they offer all their love with all their heart. Others are so impoverished that they cannot even afford a smile. Some people are so beautiful, they bring splendor and joy wherever they go. Others are so obnoxious, they remove pleasantness when they arrive. Some people are so spiritually connected to the Creator that they have compassion for all of His creation. And others are so spiritually bankrupt that they use religion and the name of Allah as a means of hatred, division, even death. Some people are so rich, they offer all their love and all their compassion all the time. And some people are so poor, all they have is money. Wise ones from the past have said, and they have advised us, and perchance, heeding such advice and realizing fundamental basic aspects of our life in our daily lives could enhance our quality of life on the one hand, and improving our character, and perchance pave the pathway to our spirituality. Listen attentively to what the wise ones have advised. It's combined in a long saying, and I will translate what they said. They advised us to realize لا كنز أنفع من العلم وما ولا مال أربح من الحلم. There's no treasure more beneficial than knowledge, no possession more profitable than good judgment. ولا حسب أرفع من الأدب ولا نسب أوضع من الغضب. There's no nobility more refined than having good manners, and there's no characteristic more vulgar than bad temper. ولا قرين أزين من العمل ولا رفيق أشيل من الجهل. No partner that is more charming than good action to accompany you. No companion more disgraceful than ignorance. ولا شرف أعز من التقوى ولا كرم أوفى من ترك الهوى. There's no rank, no status higher than piety, and no nobility more fulfilling than forsaking negative desires. ولا عمل أفضل من الفكر ولا حسنة أعلى من الصبر ولا سيئة أغزى من الكبر. There's no action more virtuous than contemplation and reflection. There is no good deed better than being patient, and there is no evil deed more despicable than arrogance and pride. ولا دواء ألين من الرفق ولا داء أوجع من الخرق. There's no remedy milder and gentler than kindness, and there's no ailment more painful than foolishness. ولا رسول أعدل من الحق ولا دليل أنصح من الصدق. There's no messenger more just than the truth, no proof more trustworthy than truthfulness itself. ولا فقر أذل من الطمع ولا غنى أشقى من الجمع. There's no poverty more demeaning than greed, because those who are greedy always need, never mind how much they have. So he says, no poverty more demeaning than greed, and no wealth more unhappy than accumulation. ولا حياة أطيب من الصحة ولا معشية أهنأ من العفة. Nothing in life more pleasant than good health, no livelihood more appropriate than livelihood by virtue. ولا عبادة أحسن من الخشوع ولا زهد خير من القنوع. No act of worship more pleasing than the act done in humility, and no abstinence better than self-restraint and self-control. ولا حارس أحفظ من الصمت ولا غائب أقرب من الموت. There's no safeguard more productive than being silent. It's the best safeguard. And nothing absent but closest to us than death. Such advice is timeless and priceless. It makes us better reflect on different aspects of our lives, and to truly understand life itself and to appreciate life. Wise ones have advised, for the appreciation of your life, visit three places. Visit the hospital, visit the prison, and visit the cemetery. At the hospital, which we normally do on Eid Day, by the way, at the hospital, you will understand that nothing in life is more valuable than good health, because no money can buy that. In prison, you'll realize that freedom is the most precious of things until it's taken away. At the cemetery, you will realize that life is truly only temporary. And therefore, the Sufis say, at the cemetery, في المقبرة, ستدرك أن الأرض التي تمشي عليها اليوم ستكون السقف الذي نلتحف بها غدا. The ground that we walk on today will tomorrow be the roof under which we are buried. And therefore, we reflect on the fact, الحقيقة هي أننا نأتي إلى الدنيا بلا متاع وسنغادرها أيضا خاليين الوفاض. The reality is we all come into this world with nothing, and be rest assured they may take you with all fancy cars to the grave. When you go in the grave, you go with nothing. ما يساعدنا عندما نغادر العالم هو الأعمال الصالحة التي قمنا بها. What helps us when we leave the world are the the good deeds that we have done. وَمَا الَّذِي يُعَزِّزْ مَنْ نَتْرُكُهُ وَالذِّكْرِيَاتِ الْعَزِيزَةِ الَّتِي خَلَقْنَاهَا. And what consoles the people whom we leave behind are the fond memories we leave behind. If there are any people today who have family members who you're not speaking to, and you don't greet them, you don't know if you're going to be here next Eid. Our teacher and brother here at the school, brother of the Imam, Sheikh Fuad, passed away. Younger than many of us. May Allah grant him Jannah. Amen. One of the brothers, the Harnika brothers, always so generous to the school and to the masjid, the Keti people, Salim Harnika, passed away. His elder brothers are here, he's gone. May Allah grant them all Jannah. Selfless people, people who contribute to the mosque, to the community, unheralded, they're not here today. Are we going to be here next year, this time? Will we say Eid Mubarak to each other who are here? Or will we come after Fajr or whenever you go and make dua at the qabr and say, here lies buried someone? What are we doing with our lives? After a month of heightened spiritual consciousness, Eid al-Fitr is the ideal time to ponder such question. What are we doing with our life? We have fasted لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, to acquire piety and self-control and discipline. Discipline has been cultivated in our hearts and in our minds, inshallah. And we are now trained to accept the commands of Allah in the remaining 11 months of the year with the same unwavering loyalty with which we unquestioningly followed and were able to follow through the month of Ramadan, not abstaining only from haram, even abstaining from the necessities of life. We have emerged from the month of Ramadan, hopefully with better personalities and stronger character. On this day of Eid al-Fitr, let us use the residual spirit of Ramadan, the lingering effect remaining from Ramadan within us. Let us use that spirit for overpowering the negative feelings and sentiments that we may harbor, and for conquering those attitudes that have divided families and friends, and that has separated dear ones and loved ones. Let us make a real turning point in our relationship with our relatives, with our neighbors, whoever they may be, in our family, our brethren and sisters. Let us transcend mere outward appearances in rituals on our Eid day so that it can be effective for relationship enhancing, life changing, and this Eid then can become one which can be a means of elevating ourselves intellectually, morally, and spiritually by thinking about what is right, feeling what is good, and doing what is best. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran, where He links up the notion of our continuous engagement with the world, He says, وَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. He begins by saying, worship none but Allah, our relationship with the Creator, and don't associate any partners in any form with Him. Immediately He goes after, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, and be loving and compassionate and dear and respectful to your parents. وَبِذِي الْقُرْبَى, and to your near and dear ones. Then those people who don't have near and dear ones, وَالْيَتَامَى, وَالْمَسَاكِينَ, وَالْجَارِ الْقُرْبَى, your neighbor nearby you, وَالْجَارِ الْجُنُبِ, and the neighbor who may be a bit more distance, وَالصَّاحِبِ الْجَمْ, those people whom you encounter casually or occasionally, maybe in the train or in the bus, or as you travel together, you meet them sometime, you're familiar with them, I see every day on the bus or somewhere. People whom you occasionally interact with, look at that. Allah, parents, loved ones, household, those near ones, neighbor next to you, Muslim or non-Muslim, doesn't matter. Look at how Allah in this verse, talking about obedience to Him, wa'abudullah, wala tushriku bi shay'a, gives us a string of responsibilities of social engagement to indicate, on the one hand, huququllah, and the other hand, huququl ibad. The rights we owe to Allah, and as some of my teachers say, not the rights you owe to people, the rights you owe to Allah through your engagement with His creation. You still owe it to Allah. Allah will ask you. Remember the hadith of Rasulullah, very famous hadith, hadith al-Qudsi, where Allah inspires the Prophet. You get revelation and inspiration. Hadith Qudsi is not revelation, but inspiration. The Rasul is inspired to say, Allah will say on the day of Qiyamah, oh my servant, I was hungry, you didn't feed me. I was sick, you didn't visit me. And we'll say, Allah, you are Ghaniyul Hamid, you are self-sufficient. How can we feed you? Where were you needy? He said, don't you know such and such a person who you knew was in hunger and in thirst, was in difficulty and hardship. Had you come to visit him, you would have found me with him. And by leaving him, you have neglected me. Look at the link. So we can't be just praying and doing all the things, mashallah, which we must do fundamentally. We begin with that and say, mashallah, I've done my ibadah in jama'ah with my thawb and my topi and my beard and all of this, mashallah, good. And now I've got done my deen. No, it's not that. Much more than that. And therefore, we need to understand this verse, in fact, in terms and in relation to the universal, all-embracing spirit of Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised us in a hadith documented in the Sunan of Ibn Majah, where he said, "Kun wari'an takun a'bad al-nas, wa kun qani'an takun ashkur al-nas. Wa hibba lil-nas ma tuhibbu li-nafsik takun mu'mina. Wa ahsin jiwar man jawaraka takun muslima." He said, be sincerely devoted and you will be the most pious of worshippers. Be content with what you have and you will be the most grateful of people. Love for people what you love for yourself, then you'll be a true believer. And behave with your neighbors in a neighborly manner and then you'll be a true Muslim. Can we make a resolution, inshallah, to do these fundamental steps? So basic, yet so significant. So well known, yet so least implemented. Nothing really affirms our humanity more than our capacity to empathize and to be compassionate. And that's why the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Ra'asul aqli ba'd al-iman billah at-tawaddud ila an-nas wa istina' al-khayr ila kulli barri wa fajir." The peak of reasoning after accepting the faith in the divine is being affectionate towards humanity and doing good to other people, irrespective of whether those people are good people or not good people. It is this frame of heart that enables us to feel the agony of the pain experienced by others, to empathize with the struggle of those who are in desperation, and to treat others as we ourselves would like to be treated, and to do our best to make the world a better place, one good deed at a time. Past week, we are on Imam Harun Road. 50 years ago, Imam Harun was martyred, fighting for justice for a cause greater than himself. This week was 50 years that he was arrested. May Allah grant him Jannah. Even the road on this masjid is named after Imam Harun. May Allah be pleased with him. We are part of an ummah, a global community of faith. Do we really feel for our brothers and sisters locally and globally? Are we really of those مَثَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فِي تَوَادِّهِمْ وَتَرَاحُمِهِمْ وَتَعَاطُفِهِمْ كَمَثَلِ الْجَسَدِ? Do we really feel that? Do we really feel that the likeness of a human, of the ummah, is like one body? If any part feels afflicted, the rest feels in non-comfort or uncomfortable or feels a fever. You feel uncomfortable, ill at ease. مَثَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فِي تَوَادِّهِمْ وَتَرَاحُمِهِمْ وَتَعَاطُفِهِمْ كَمَّثَلِ الْجَسَدِ إِنِ اشْتَكَى مِنْ عُضْوٍ. If any part of the body is affected, تَدَعَى لَهُ سَائِرُ الْجَسَدِ بِالسِّهْرِ وَالْحُمَى, the rest of the body feels restless and feverish. Friday was International Quds Day. Thousands of people in over 800 cities all over the world expressed solidarity with the oppressed people of Palestine. We are in full solidarity with the struggle of the people in Palestine. People who are victims of a war waged against a civilian population. The confiscation of Palestinian land, the displacement of Palestinian people, the destruction of Palestinian homes, and the decimation of the Palestinian population. We are aware of the struggle of the people in Kashmir under the brutal domination of an Indian authority that's increasingly becoming anti-Islam and openly anti-Muslim. We are aware of the plight of the Rohingya Muslims in Myanmar, in Burma, who have been described by the United Nations as the world's most persecuted people. We are aware of the ongoing strife in Syria, in Sham, and the war between two of the richest countries, supported by the world's superpowers, against the Muslim world's poorest country, Yemen. A scene which the United Nations has declared as the world's largest humanitarian crisis, greater than in Syria, in Rohingya, in other parts of the world, but not on the news much. We are indeed in empathy and solidarity with those who are innocent victims of the war in Yemen. We know the Chinese internment camps in Xinjiang province, where over 1 million Uyghur Muslims are being incarcerated and punished for their faith. They are being kept apart from their families. I will finish at 8:05. It's time now for Ishraq. I'll finish on time, 8:05. They are being kept apart from their families, their children, and tortured to forget their identities and made to denounce their religion. We are well aware of the cruel realities faced by our fellow Muslims in China. But where are the voices of denunciation? Where are the voices of denunciation? Where are the outcry from the Muslim leaders? When will the heads of Muslim majority governments put morality before money, human rights before greed, goodwill before personal power interests, and speak out at what is becoming the modern world's largest campaign of ethnic cleansing? We are indeed in solidarity with the people of China, the Uyghur Muslims. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that as we reflect on the difficulties and hardships and celebrations on one side, loss of life on the other, and joy and celebration, this is the reality of life. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Glad tidings, ride the wave of life with balance, patiently persevering. Reflect on the fact that virtually everything we do in our lives is a choice. Even doing nothing is also a choice. At any moment, we have hundreds of decisions to make, taking options. What is more significant? And in our lives, the decisions we take, some are more significant than others. Too often, we operate on automatic. It's Eid, Ramadan is over, automatically back to what we were before. Doing things by habit rather than by conscious decision. We are people of niyyah. We do everything with niyyah. That's the reason you have niyyah. You intentionally what you do. Because if you do it intentionally, you do it purposefully. And if you do it purposefully, then life becomes a series of meaningful events, because they are done with purpose. Life is a series of decisions, and we need to become more aware of our decisions and avoid living unconscious lives. We prefer what we like. Be careful what you like. We prefer what we like, and we choose what we prefer. You know, Iqbal said, "Teri dua hai ki ho teri arzu puri. Meri dua hai ki teri arzu badal jaye." You desire, you pray that your desire may be fulfilled. I'm praying that your desire must change. What you're asking for, that needs to change. You're asking for the wrong thing. Teri dua hai ke ho teri arzu puri. Meri ye dua hai ke teri arzu badal jaye. May your what you desire change. Let us choose a positive outlook. Thinking positively, and this provides motivation, hope and inspiration for those around you. Hope for the best, but always prepare for the worst. This is part of the reality of a believer. Choose positive emotions. Remove rancor and hatred. As the Rasul said to Anas bin Malik, who grew up in his house, "My son, if you can get up in the morning, go to sleep without envy and bitterness towards la ghillun wa la hasad, or envy in your heart, then please do so. This is part of my style." Choose positive thoughts. You can't keep on thinking negatively about yourself and about each other, because our thoughts affect our mind affect our decisions, and impact on our actions, which affect our lives. And let us choose to do the right thing for the right reason. I leave you with a dua. May Allah grant us, through the barakah of the Ramadan that we have spent in worship, that we are able to perpetuate the spirit of Ramadan as we go into Shawwal in the rest of the year. Amen. May Allah grant us, through the barakah of this Ramadan, vision that sees good in people, actions that genuinely benefit people, empathy that embraces all the people, Hearts that forgives the faults of people. Minds that engender love for people. And memories that remember the best in people. On this majestic morning of Eid, as we heard the takbir reverberating so melodiously in the house of Allah and all the houses of Allah, stirring our souls of those who are reading the takbir, may Allah grant us strength for our weaknesses. May Allah grant us relief from our sickness. May He grant us ease from our stressfulness. May Allah grant us resolve to overcome situations of helplessness. May Allah grant us calmness for our restlessness. May He grant us contentment for our happiness. On this auspicious day of Eid al-Fitr, every Muslim should be ready to face the year that lies ahead, inshallah, spiritually charged, with renewed strength and vigor, increased positivity, a higher degree of discipline, a firmer resolve, and a commitment to universal goodness and to manifest the true spirit of a mu'min, which is tuhibba linnas ma tuhibbu li nafsik, to love for others what you love for yourself. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah wa assalamu alaykum. Eid Mubarak, 8:05.
Can you just ask the brothers to stand in fadlik and make that up?